I realized that I must have seen, you know, a heavenly person.
GMBA Youthcast.
There are certain truths about our walk with God that we need to be reminded of over and over again. And I think one of those is just the joy and the purpose that God gives us when we seek His will and follow in the path that He's directing us towards. So today on Youthcast, that's what we're going to talk about. We have our guest, Brother Brian Martirana, joining us today to share about the ways that God has directed his life, some amazing testimonies. And also, we got a co-host, Brother Armand, who's just going to chime in with some commentary and thoughts along the way. So thank you guys for joining.
It is a great blessing to be with both of you brothers.
I'm excited for what Brother Brian has to share with us. So good to be here today.
So to get right into your testimony, can you start early on? What were some of the early experiences for you as a teenager that started to build your faith or to show you that God wants to have an active role in our lives?
I was baptized at the age of 15. And I have to tell you that I realized, even at the age 15, this was a commitment for life. And, you know, we're all tested. You know, no matter how strong we are in the church, we're all tested. And it's just amazing, this particular experience that I want to share with you. This was the first day of class. I was in 10th grade. And prior to the class starting, you know, we were in a gym. Group of my friends and three other seniors, we got into a basketball game, started a basketball game. And it just so happens that us three beat the three seniors. And they were obviously very upset. One of the boys came up to me and says, "Well, if you guys think you're that great, I want to fight you after school." And this was my first test, you know, to my commitment. I was just newly baptized in the church. First day of school. We started school the day after Labor Day, usually. And I told this young man, I said that I have just surrendered my life to the Lord. Maybe this was my first testimony. I said, I have just surrendered my life to the Lord. And I said, I have no desire to fight after school. And, you know, his whole countenance changed. He was angry and upset. And when I shared those few words with him, not knowing what was going to take place, if we were going to start to fight right there on the gym, he says, "Can you tell me what church you go to?" Isn't that amazing? That was not the response that I was expecting. And I shared with him, you know, where our church was. And he actually didn't live very far from the church. I said, "If you have an interest, you're welcome to come to church." Well, it was a few Wednesdays after that happened. Not only did he come to church, but about 10 of his friends came to church on a Wednesday night. And I just want you to know, brothers, these 10 people were probably the most troubled kids of Niles McKinley High School, where I went to school. They got into more trouble, and I didn't realize that until I started asking around, you know, about this one young man. And he must have told his friends, and they all came to church. And Brother Dan Corrado, who was our presiding elder, he has gone to be with the Lord. He said, "Brother Brian, who are these boys?" And I said, "Brother Dan," I said, I just want you to know that these are probably the most troubled kids in our high school." And I said, "I shared a testimony with one of them, and they have all decided to come to church." I said, "I'm just as surprised as you are." And you know, the Lord inspired Brother Dan. And he says, "Let's have a testimony meeting." And that's what we did. We sang songs, we testified. And, you know, we had many senior brothers and sisters in our branch, and they just started testifying, some of them in broken English, of their conversion and their life with Christ. And I got to tell you, periodically, brothers, I'd be looking back just to try to get their impression, because I was sitting up front and they were in the last pew. And you could tell they were being touched by these testimonies. They were making an impact. And so I hope that we never realize or underestimate the power of a testimony. It has changed so many lives. And it changed these young men's lives. And you know, after the service, these older brothers and sisters were embracing these 10 young men after the meeting. And they were just loving on them. And one of the young men said, "Brian, could I keep coming to church here? He said, I really need to come." I said, "Sure." I said, "You can keep coming." And you know what? He was baptized. And not only was he baptized, he told his sister and his sister's husband, and they were baptized in the church. And so through just this simple testimony and desire to serve the Lord, such a great blessing, you know, took place. Not only that, but I could tell you, Brother Jared and Brother Armin, there was just a change that came over me after I was baptized. And, you know, people in school, they saw a difference. And I had many opportunities, really, to share the gospel. And for all those that are in high school, junior high, that might be listening to this podcast, that is a great opportunity to stand up for your faith and believe in Christ and share with your friends. It's a great opportunity.
I'll just add how awesome it is with that testimony that, you know, it proves that God could use anyone. And you were only like 15 at the time. So, you know, many times, especially when I was going through high school, and I know people I grew up with, you know what I mean? It's like we think we have a mindset that, well, I have to be this, or I have to be this in the church in order to do God's will, in order to spread his gospel. But all it took was a testimony from a 15-year-old newly baptized kid. It's awesome.
Was there ever a time or an experience where you did seek God's direction and he revealed it to you?
There were many instances, and many of those experiences began in fasting and prayer. I want to first share that. And I had actually started college, and I was very uncertain whether or not this was the career path for me to go to college. Prior to me giving my life to the Lord, being baptized, I was just a mediocre student. But I was at the crossroads. I was going to school, but I was praying. I said, "Lord, I just don't know if this is for me, if I should be here or should I learn a trade?" And I was praying. I wasn't getting an answer. And so I decided I was going to take one whole day in fasting and prayer, which I did. And then I went to school the next day, and I was still fasting. And I had decided that I would break my fast at college after my morning classes, and I would eat lunch. And during college, it's not our most prosperous years of our life. Brother Armin, you're going through that now. You understand exactly what I'm sharing. And I had change. I had no dollar bills to eat for lunch, but I did have change. And so I gathered together all my change and I put it in my pocket, and I was going to use that money for my lunch. And I had finished my morning classes and I was ready to break my fast. And as I was on the sidewalk to go to the restaurants walking, there was an older gentleman that was approaching me. And he seemed a little different. He seemed like a little poor person. And he asked me if I had some money so that he could buy a cup of coffee. And he said he was hungry. And I realized that I had, you know, change in my pocket. And so I didn't look exactly how much I gave him, but I gave him part of the change because of his request. And he didn't say anything to me. And I felt so compelled that if this man truly is in need and is hungry, I should give him all the money that I have. And so I reached back in my pocket and I gave him the rest of those coins. And he asked me my name and I told him. And he said, Brian, he says, I want you to know your life here in college will be blessed, that you will do well academically, that this is the place for you, and that you have nothing more to fear while you're going to school. And as he said these words to me, it didn't even comprehend in my mind, brothers, that this is what I had been praying for, even though I'd been praying and fasting for a day and a half for an answer. It didn't even cross my mind that this was the answer that I was seeking. And I ended up telling him, thank you. I hope that you're able to get something to eat. And we shook hands. The unusual thing is that this gentleman didn't really walk towards any of the restaurants. He walked in a different direction. And I just started walking back as well because I had no more money, you know, to buy my lunch. And I was just going to wait and fast till dinner. And as I was walking, I started to hear coins in my pocket. And I was so amazed that I reached down and I believe I had all the coins that I started with in my pocket. And immediately I realized that I must have seen, you know, a heavenly person. And I didn't even care about lunch. I wanted to find this man. And I have to tell you, I was desperate in looking for him, but I wasn't able to find him. And he didn't go towards the restaurants. He wasn't anywhere at the restaurants. And I never had the opportunity to meet him. But I do know that all the coins that I started with were back in my pocket. And then I realized the words that he said to me was exactly what I was praying for. You know, Lord, is this for me? Am I going to do well here at school? Am I going to graduate? And is this the career path that you would have for me? And he answered all those questions. And I knew without a doubt, and this is the blessing of seeking the Lord, is that you know without a doubt that you're doing the right thing, that's pleasing to the Lord, and it's going to bless your life, and it's going to be a blessing to other people's lives.
One of the thoughts that stood out to me, Brother Brian, in that testimony, is it's so easy when we're seeking God's will for our life to just say, well, God, here's all the things I want, and so I want you to direct me in how I can get all those things. And we can forget that the real joy that comes when we're seeking not just what's God's will to bless me, but God, what's your will for your purpose for me and how I can be a blessing to people? How can I be a good steward of the resources and blessings that you've given me to bless other people? That was a time where you were seeking God's direction about if you should move forward with school. And God basically confirmed to you, yes, this is a good path for you. There's other times when God's direction is the opposite of what we might think.
That's very true. I was just finishing up college, and actually, I was speaking with Brother Frank and asking him if he knew of a job that that I could work for the summer. And he actually mentioned where he worked that the family, it's a very wealthy family, needed a landscaper, and he pretty much made arrangements for me to have this job. And as I, you know, worked, they had quite a few acres. They had several homes on their property. The man and woman was part of a company that owned malls and real estate developments throughout the United States. So they had significant funds. And I actually got to know this woman very well, just from day in and day out. And so I worked both on her property and I worked at their business as well, which was not very far, you know, from their home. And after I was about to graduate, and she would ask me periodically about my schooling and everything. She wanted to speak to me, and she said that, listen, you know, we have quite a few attorneys, you know, on staff, and now that you've finished school, we have a close relationship with Notre Dame College. I can make arrangements for you to go to school. It will be all paid for. In the summertime, when you're not at school, there was a vacant house there on the property, and they said you can continue to live there, and you could work at the company, you know, for the summers. And I've got to tell you, Brother Jerry, when she told me all that to a struggling college student, it sounded very good. And I didn't know what to make of it. I have to tell you, I did not know what to make of that offer. It was so generous. And it's amazing that some of the homes on her property were bigger than the homes that I even grew up with. And I thought, you know, here I can work for the company, I can get a law degree, and it will all be provided for me. And so again, that night, I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, this is a big decision for me. And, you know, I think everyone has to choose, Brother Jared, what areas they seek the Lord in, where they really need divine help. We all have to make that decision because there are so many choices that we have to make. And we have to realize that our choices will either lead us closer to the Lord and the work of the Lord, or they can lead us astray if we want to be honest.
Brother Brian, when you're saying we need to choose what we're going to seek direction from the Lord in, I want to just clarify here. You're not saying, well, we should only seek God for certain things and other things. You're really saying we have to make the decision. We have to make a conscious decision in every aspect of our life. Like, I'm going to seek God's direction, even though I have this clear path that I want. I'm choosing that even in this area of my life, I'm going to make sure that my will aligns with the Lord.
That's exactly right. And we have to realize that some of the desires of our heart that we may want may not be aligned with what the Lord wants for us. And I have to say, this was an instance where I was thinking, this is a nice deal. This is a good offer. Did the Lord provide the offer? Or is it an offer that is not aligned, you know, with God's will for my life? And so that night I had an experience where I saw myself on her property. And I saw there were a lot of people and there was some festive activity going on. And I was like a waiter. You know, I had like appetizers on a dish and I was passing them out. And, you know, I was helping any way I can with this grand party that was taking place. And in the midst of doing that, a sister of our branch, Sister Loretta Credo, who is just a wonderful sister, she appeared to me and she says, Brian, I need your help. And normally, if she had asked me for help, I would have helped her, along with all the precious brothers and sisters that I grew up with. And I said, Sister Loretta, I'm so busy right now. I said, if you just give me time, I'll help you. And so I continued on with my job as a waiter and passing appetizers and hors d'oeuvres to the people that were there. She appeared to me a second time, and she asked me the very same question. She says, Brian, I need your help. And I gave her the same response the second time. I said, I'm so busy right now. I said, but just give me some time, and I'll help you. And I continued on. She appeared to me the third time, and this time more desperate. And she says, Brian, she says, I need your help. Can you help me now? When she said that, I awoke from the dream. And I have to tell you, when I awoke from this dream, I realized exactly what the Lord was telling me. It made such an impact on my heart, brothers, that everything that was offered to me, it didn't matter anymore. It just like the Lord just was telling me that if you accept this, that you are not going to have time to serve the Lord and serve the people of God and to minister. And it couldn't have been clearer, yet it was a very simple experience. But the power and the impact that it made at that time in my life. And I'll tell you, I'm not sure if it was the next day, but I know it was that week. I went back to this family and I said, I'm not going to accept this offer. It's just not the right thing for me. And I shared a little bit of my testimony that I serve God, that I want to do what's right, and the Lord was just not directing me to accept this offer. And you know, we had a wonderful conversation. She was very surprised that I wouldn't take the question. I think by the car that I was driving, she probably deducted that I was a little on the poor side and that this was a huge offer for me. But I want to tell you this, that after that conversation and I drove out, and this would be the last time that I would ever come back to her property, I realized that. The Spirit of God just came upon me. And it's like the Lord made manifest in that moment, I'm pleased that you did the right thing. And had I accepted that, I probably wouldn't be here speaking to both of you and maybe ministering to the church as I've been able to do throughout my life. So again, I thank God.
You know, sharing that testimony, it just brings up the thought in my mind, like especially when we're fasting and praying for something. And I know this has happened in my life, but so many times opportunities could be placed in front of us that we might be praying about even. And they check off our own boxes, exactly like your experience. But I think that's why it's just so important to like seek for confirmation and pray to God, is this your direction? Because even though they may check off my boxes, my personal boxes, doesn't mean it's checking off God's boxes. And so we really need to be focusing on that. And if I could ask kind of a question derived from that thought, is that, you know, I can only imagine that this is, that these experiences have grown you in the church and in your service to the Lord. And kind of my question would be, how do we get to a point like to where we, to those who might be going through stuff like that, how do we get to a point where we could just say immediately when we see something, oh, I have faith in the Lord so much that I could turn to the Lord and I'll follow his will no matter what. What kind of growth have you seen in your life that led you to stuff like that and to make you answer those experiences like you did? And how can that be, you know, shared to those who are watching and listening?
That's a beautiful question, Brother Armin. And I realized that not everyone had the spiritual upbringing that I've been blessed to have. I understand that because we were taught as young people to believe and have faith on the Lord, and the Lord would reveal things unto us. That was very important in our upbringing. And so I pray that even if we haven't had that upbringing, say maybe people even new to the church, that they would cling to the Word of God, that they would have spiritual mentors in their life, you know, spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers, maybe that they could share their experiences with and share the Word of God, impart with the Word of God. And, you know, as the scripture said, the Word of God is like a seed. You know, if we plant it in good ground, Brother Armin, it's going to grow, right? I mean, it might grow at a little slower pace for someone new to the church, but it's going to grow and it's going to bring forth fruit, you know, as the scripture says. So it's my hope that even if people had difficult upbringings, that they would seek out spiritual mentors, that they would read the Word of God, and they would begin to ask God in faith, believing to reveal direction in their life.
I love that question, and I would add on to it. In my life, one of the reasons I think I've gotten better at actually following the Lord's direction is because of all the times in the past where I felt like the Lord was nudging me in one direction and I didn't follow it. And then down the road, I see, what did I get myself into? And so I guess that it goes to show that even when we do make mistakes and veer off course, that sometimes there's a little price to pay for that, but God loves us and wants to get us back on track. And that story makes me think of another verse in Jeremiah 29, verse 13. It says, Ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And it's so easy for me to approach the Lord in prayer with this picture of, I kind of already know what I'm going to do. And I'm doing the prayer thing as like a formality to ask God to bless my choice that I, in the back of my head, I want to make. And maybe I'll seek for a confirmation of the thing that I already want to happen, instead of really going to God with my whole heart open and saying, God, I don't want to move forward unless I really can feel good about it with you, that you're with me and this is your direction, and not just me kind of forcing my will. In the example you just shared, God gave you a direction that didn't make sense to you. So why should we follow that when, to our understanding, it's not the best choice?
Yeah, and that's actually happened to me a few times. Moving from Ohio to Arizona was a major transition for me. In some respects, I had to start all over in almost every way. Career-wise was just one of the ways. And I had a nice experience finishing up my master's degree. And I actually finished my master's just months before moving to Arizona. And I was actually attending a class, brothers, that was sharing about career opportunities in the government and nonprofit. Keep in mind, I have never worked in the government or the nonprofit up to this point in my life. And it's like when she was sharing these opportunities, it was like the Lord was speaking to me that, you know, when I go to Arizona, that I'm going to have a completely different career change, that I would be working for the government and for nonprofit. And, you know, I was so blessed by this experience after I left the meeting. Then I thought, I don't know anything about the government or nonprofit. And I started to wonder, why is the Lord leading me in this direction? My dear wife, Rebecca, who I just want to first thank God for her. I mean, she has been a pillar of strength through every situation in my life. She had seen a job fair. I think this was in May. That was sponsored by the state of Arizona. And she said, Brian, why don't you go and apply for the jobs? Well, it was like a job fair that I have never experienced. I remember I was just newly came from Ohio, and people were all waiting in a long line to register for this job fair. And so, I don't know, it may have taken 30, 45 minutes before we actually got indoors to register. And I've got to tell you, I was not used to the weather here in May. And I thought, who is even going to want to talk to me? I mean, I smell at this point. I've got body odor, you know, from standing outside for so long. And here's what happened. I finally decided to sign in. I interviewed for one position, and I went to my car to go back home. When I went to my car, just before I got in, I received a call from a number that I did not know. And I answered it. And it was the recruiter that I had just spoken to. And they wanted to hire me for the job working for the state of Arizona. And they told me the start date that they wanted me to work, just that quick. And I realized at that point, I remembered the experience of how the Lord was speaking to me, that I would work for the government and nonprofit when I came to Arizona. I realized that was from the Lord, even though I had no idea about what I would do really with this job, but I accepted it. You know, I must have worked there for 6 months, and I've got to tell you, I want to be crystal clear and honest with everyone hearing this podcast. There were times where I was wondering in my mind, why am I at this job? There are so many other things that I could do. Why am I working for the state of Arizona? But I just remembered that this is where I was supposed to be. And shortly after starting to work there, maybe like 6 months, I started working there. My sons got in a terrible car accident. I'm sure, Brother Jared, you probably remember that time. The car was completely demolished. And it's a miracle of God that they both survived it. Caleb was in intensive care for over a month. And he had three major operations at that time. And, you know, I just want to take a moment and thank all the brothers and sisters of the Mesa branch who, from the moment I came here, just embraced me with the love of God. And I can tell you that they prayed very, very much for my two sons. Time went by. My sons were getting better. And I was going to go back to work. Well, I had, and this is not an exaggeration, brothers, I had a stack of bills from their accent about this high. And, you know, one day I got brave enough to start counting how much we owed. And it was well over $1 million. I think I stopped at about $1.4 million of money that we owed. And so when I went back to work, we had a health benefits coordinator, and I sent her an email, and I asked her if I could have an hour meeting because I wanted to go over these bills and start some type of payment plan, you know, to pay for them. And she agreed to the meeting, but she reduced the hour to 15 minutes. And I was thinking in my mind, this woman has no idea what I'm going to present to her and how many bills that we have to go over and talk about. And so I went in. The first thing she asked me, she said, Brian, she said, how are your sons? She knew. Everyone in the whole department knew. And I said, thank God. I said, they're doing well. They're recovering. She says, you know, that's the most important thing. I said, yes. I said, but I'm here now. I said, because I have all these bills and I brought them all with me. And I said, I need to work out a payment plan. I said, look how many of them are here. And I said, that's why I asked for an hour meeting. She said, Brian, she says, I want to tell you this. There is a reason that I reduced it down to 15 minutes. She says, every bill that you have is going to be paid by the state of Arizona, starting from the ambulance that took them to two different hospitals, and every bill after that. And she said, every bill that you might have in the future regarding this situation is going to be paid for. Says, you owe absolutely nothing. And you can imagine how surprised I was. And she said, I just want you to know, I realize you're new here at the state, but there's probably no other organization you could have went to in the state of Arizona that would have paid all these bills like our insurance will. And so, you know how the Lord is just one step ahead of us, brothers, if we allow him to be. And the Lord was telling me when I was back in Ohio, before I even came here, that I was going to work for the government, and then I was going to work for the charity. And as you know, after leaving the government, that I worked for the American Cancer Society, and I've been there now almost 16 years of my career. And it's been a great blessing, and I've been able to be active in missionary work, you know, throughout our region, the church, while having this job. So is the Lord not the good shepherd, and is he not willing to lead us even when it doesn't seem right to us?
And in Hebrews it says that faith, you know, is the things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And like you shared, we have to have faith in certain things because we just can't see it, but the Lord sees it all. And we need to have faith. And later on in Hebrews, it says, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so, you know, when we put our faith in God, there's no way that could go wrong because he's already seen two steps ahead. He knows everything that's going to come.
Yes.
Just one last testimony I want to ask you about before we wrap up here. We talked earlier about how part of seeking God's direction for your life is asking is seeking ways to be used by him and to bless other people. And you've shared some instances along the way where that's happened. One thing people might not know about you is actually you were instrumental in starting Youth in Action, which is a program in the church for involving young people in missionary work. So could you share about how God directed you in starting that?
I had many spiritual mothers and fathers. One of those that was not in my branch, but that I had met this dear brother at conference was Brother Mark Randy. And maybe many of the young people will not remember him or know have known of him. He was a great evangelist in the church and a humble, wonderful man of God. I think I was around 22, 23 years old. I actually went to, I was visiting some of the branches in California, and Brother Mark invited me over to his house. He says, Brian, my heart's desire that I might see the young people of the church partake in a missionary program where perhaps they can dedicate summers, you know, while they're in junior high, high school, college, of sharing their testimonies to people around our branches and missions. And while he was saying this to me, it's like his countenance changed before me. And I saw like a brightness on his face. And Brother Mark was often blessed with the gift of tongues and the word of the Lord. And Brother Mark stood up and he said something similar to this. He says, "Thus saith the Lord, my servant, I will use you to begin this work, and it will be a blessing to my people." And I was just so blessed, and he was blessed, and he hugged me and he embraced me. And, you know, we left that session realizing that there would come a time when a program like Youth in Action would be passed by the GMBA and would be put into motion. And I would have to say, brothers, that it was 3 or 4 or 5 years after this took place. I was in the ministry at the age 24. I became a GMB officer shortly after. And as a GMB officer, I presented it. It passed. And became adopted as one of our missionary programs of the church. In Brother Mark's conversation with me, he said this. He says, not only will this program be a blessing to those that hear about the gospel for the first time, he says, our young people will grow by being missionaries in this fashion. And boy, it was like prophecy. You know, think about the Youth in Action program. And it's been going on now, I think, for over 30 years, by the way. Just think of the impact that it has made, you know, with our young people, that they have grown and been blessed by it. And in sharing their testimonies and the testimonies of the church to other people have been blessed. And it was prophetic. It was a revelation of God. And I'm blessed that I was been able to be used in that way.
And it was actually almost 13 years ago at a Youth in Action when I asked for my baptism. And beautiful. And in a few weeks, Brother Armin and I are going to be at a Youth in Action together in California. By the time this publishes, it will have just passed. But yeah, that is an awesome legacy of how God used you to start that. And it's still going on today. So thank you for sharing that.
And you know, brothers, I share these experiences to you only for the honor and glory of God and to uplift and strengthen our people. You know, my closing comments, anyone that hears this broadcast, you know, we invite them to come to the Lord. If they have not yet surrendered their life to the Lord, come to the Lord, seek Him, be baptized, repent of your sins, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, that God might bless your life.
Thank you to Brother Jared for inviting me, and thank you, Brother Brian, again, for the wonderful testimonies you shared. And I know I've taken something away from this call, and I hope that everyone else listening will as well.
The one thing that just stood out to me throughout all the testimonies, from the kid who was threatening to fight you to the job offer you had that you realized would pull you away from the Lord, was like, now is the time. Now is the chance. Start seeking God's will and following it now. And don't put it off, because God has so many blessings in store for you when you do. So that wraps up this episode, and we hope that you will tune in to the next episode of YouthCast.
I'm Elijah Gonzalez from Hemet, California. Be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment, and share this with somebody you know. Thank you.